Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with birthday girl producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose will be celebrating a big birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Rose. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, July 18th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We're live here at 12.04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show and podcast on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, there's a live stream on the station's website, kvoi.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, State Senator Steve Farley is with us in studio. Mr. Farley, a Democrat representing District 9, he is running unopposed for re-election to the Arizona State Senate. Senator Farley is a longtime advocate of mass transit in Tucson and in Arizona, so he is very excited, along with a lot of other people, I think, about the launch of the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, which is 1 week from today. Joining me to question Senator Farley, Dylan Smith is here. Dylan is editor, publisher, and founder of the Tucson Sentinel.
You've extended my title.
I did. Is there anything else we could add as well?
There are slashes one can put after that, but probably shouldn't mention on the air.
Cleanup, janitorial duties.
Precisely.
Everything else. All right.
Your free Southern Arizona news source.
There you go. Yeah, free online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Check it out. Our comment line we'd like you to check out, 790-2040. If there's anything that's said really during the hour, we welcome your calls. And we also invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Facebook page as we surpass 3,500 friends this week.
So congrats. Somewhat,
thank you. Somewhat of a milestone, Steve Farley, for the Buckmaster Show.
Congratulations. That's great.
Speaking of milestones, first of all, welcome, Dylan, and welcome to you, Steve. And I know this is really going to be a big week for you. You're really, as I said to you when you walked into the studio, the kind of the godfather or the of the modern streetcar.
That's what my opponent called me last election, so I got to think it's true.
There you go. So that first idea came, I mean, was there something, I know you did some work up in Portland, you did public art up there in the Portland area, and you are a public artist, that's part of your professional career. Is that where the idea came that this might work for Tucson?
Well, I actually lived for 8 years in the San Francisco Bay Area for those in the city itself, and that's a metro region which has every mode of transportation you can imagine. And it all worked together so well to create the type of quality of life in a condensed space that created artistic creativity, entrepreneurial creativity, boosted economy. And when I moved here to Tucson in an effort to find somewhere that felt more like home and where I could afford to live, It was a great shock to see just how bad our transit system was and how little support it had. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind when I joined the 5th, 6th Street Advisory Group as a volunteer in the corridor, looking at what the future of 5th, 6th Street would be transportation-wise. And there was one particular genesis moment, which I remember. Mm-hmm. Some engineer consultant had done a PowerPoint presentation, and the title of it was Obstacles to Throughput. The number one bullet point was pedestrians. And a number of us who were there in the group looking at this looked at each other and thought, that's not really the kind of transportation future we want. And some of us started looking at better transit to use capacity for that corridor, to take up capacity. And we give a presentation of what rail transit has done around the country to we presented to Jim Glock, who was the deputy director of transportation at the time.
And this was what year?
This was 2000, late 2000, 2000, early 2001.
Okay.
And Jim said to those five of us in the room, yeah, you're right. Tucson would be great for rail transit. I just don't think people want it.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to the other four people in the room at that moment and said, we're going to create an organization, which later became Tucsonans for Sensible Transportation. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go around and talk to people and prove that people want. And from there on, we grew and grew. Joy Hur-Cardillo, public interest attorney in town for the Arizona Center for Law and Public Interest, she and I went to Railvolution that fall, which is a national conference about livability through transit. And we heard Charlie Hales talk about the Portland modern streetcar. He's now the mayor of Portland. And we convinced him to come down to Tucson and talk to some people. He made a presentation, and we got really excited about the sorts of things that was doing for their economy and for their quality of life there. And we knew we had to, we wanted to do it. So we worked and we worked and we got defeated and we kept back on our feet.
Yeah, you got defeated because this went then to the voters in 2002.
Yeah, we spent year and a half out in front of Casa Video gathering signatures. 18,000 of them.
The Sunlink streetcar is a very different project than the first one that you had in mind with crosstown, light rail, and what are the sorts of impacts that are going to be different? I mean, I can see if the light rail line had been built down Broadway almost all the way across town, that would have really directly affected the daily lives of a whole lot of people. This is a more compact, focused thing.
Well, it's still affecting the daily lives of the people in the corridor, and there's actually 100,000 people living within the half mile of that 4 mile route. So it's in some of the densest part of the city. And that's where a streetcar can work very effectively in a congested part of town to really help that happen. And if you go downtown, if listeners haven't been downtown the last 2 years, they'll see the explosion of development and businesses and jobs that have been
created. Skyline looks different.
It's incredibly different. It's just, we have created ourselves a cool, hip city where people who graduate from the U of A no longer want to run screaming. They actually want to stay here and start their businesses, which is part of what we need to do in the 21st century. So it's done a whole lot for that area, but we are looking at expansions as well. There are a number of private companies that I've been talking with about possibly funding privately extensions, potentially an airport to U of A and then up to Tucson Mall in the Campbell-Kino corridor because of the economic development effect. When you've seen the increase in property values, all the additional housing going in, a private company can regain their investment in the streetcar construction and maintenance easily, many times over, through the increase in property values and what they're developing in the area. So those sort of things will happen. But beyond the central core, the having the economic engine downtown is something that has been recognized for years as something the region needs to be able to succeed. We've had jobs, people who have the jobs downtown live all over the region. In my last campaign, when I was running against the guy that called me the streetcar godfather, I was walking door to door in Ina and Thornydale, very far away from downtown. And I was knocking on the door. A guy answered, and he was like, I was telling him about myself, and he said, "You're the streetcar guy, right?" And I started talking about the streetcar and why it was a benefit to people. He was like, No, let me stop you. I just want to thank you because you're the reason I have a job right now. And that effect is happening all over the area. And when you get people like the owner of Pizzeria Bianco come into town, he had offers all over the world to do a second restaurant. It's the New York Times is the best pizza in the country. They were in downtown Phoenix. He decided to come here to Tucson on the streetcar line, and he's opening next Thursday, not coincidentally the day before the streetcar opens, because that's where he felt there was this authenticity, there was a hope for growth in the future. There's a sense of this is who we are in Tucson. That's what's really exciting to me. Too often we tear each other down. We have studies sitting there collecting dust. Nobody acts on it because it's hard, because you get criticized, because people try to tear each other down or claim credit or do the rest of it. We need to put that stuff aside. And when we do that, we can get things done that are incredible, like this one. The whole country is looking at us saying, wow, how did Tucson do this thing? The D.C. papers I was reading were talking about how their thing is delayed for 5 years and Tucson got it done. And we're both having the Portland streetcar problems with those delays, but we got it done. The rest of the country is seeing us as the future, and we're able to see ourselves as the future. And that's a huge watershed moment in our history.
With those delays and the cars taking so long to get here, which really slowed down, you know, the track could have been done long, long ago and had cars running on it. We just didn't have them all here ready to open. Is Tucson going to get paid back some of those penalties in that contract? Are we going to rake some of that back?
Yeah, we have liquidated damages are built into the contract, and they are currently negotiating to get those back because they blew through all of those, so we're entitled to all of them. We'll probably get another sort of $1 million to $2 million off of that. Coming
which will
back.
Help a little bit with those startup operating costs.
I mean, it's been hard for some of the people who invested in early. I mean, the people in the Mercado District, Adam and Kira and Jerry, they've they put a lot of money up front very early, assuming it was going to get done early, and then it's been put on, but now it's finally here. There have been some delays in the stuff, and we wanted to make it the first made in the USA streetcar in 60 years, and that is harder than it appears. I went up to the factory and visited when they were being built, and there's all these old steelworker guys in their 50s and 60s because we don't train new steelworker guys in America anymore. And that's part of why we need the critical mass of having big manufacturing in order to make young people feel like it's a legitimate life career to commit to. So it's good we've been able to help that, but we've been kind of on the bleeding edge of that. The good thing is we got it done now, and we've already seen the economic development effect.
There were a number of local small business people downtown who gave up and moved out of downtown.
Yeah.
And most of them keeping their businesses going, but elsewhere. And what do you say to those people? How do you tell them that this whole project was worth it when they suffered through it?
Well, it's not like people didn't know that this was going to happen. And when people make business decisions to be there, you look at Cade Mislinski, and he opened up Hub and Playground well before the construction. And they're booming like nothing you've ever seen at this point because he had the business plan and the ability to manage themselves through the entire thing. And sometimes I think we've seen in the Morning Daily too much blame for the streetcar on somebody who didn't have a very good business operation going, closing down. Because if you look on the flip side, maybe we've seen four or five businesses close down and leave in the last year, but we've seen 106 come and open up in the last year. And we're just going to see that keep expanding more and more every day.
We're going to take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Friday Focus interview. State Senator Steve Farley is here. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Please join the conversation. Perhaps you're not a supporter of the streetcar. Your comments are welcome, and there certainly are folks who are not supporters. 790-2040. But if you like, either way, like it or not, give us a call. Love to hear from you.
I can convert you. Yes, I have a track record of doing that.
Steve will try to convert you. All right. We'll be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. State Senator Steve Farley, who is running unopposed, so in effect, well, you still have to have a vote, but you are, for all practical purposes,
it's going to be a nail biter at
yes,
both of those
right.
elections.
It looks like my sentence has been extended.
Another 2 years in the Arizona State Senate. Dylan Smith is here, the founder, editor, publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. We've been spending the first portion of our Friday roundtable, Friday focus interview, talking about the modern streetcar because of Steve Farley's long background in advocating mass transit in Tucson. But I wanted to switch gears and we can come back to the modern streetcar, which will be dedicated 1 week from today with a story that's happening with the governor saying that she will appeal a judge's ruling on those funds that are owed to the Arizona K through 12 school system. We're talking about a lot of money here that's owed the school system. Is it $1.6 billion?
It depends on whether they ask whether the court asks the legislature to give back the money that we should have been giving to the schools over that period of time when they weren't.
The governor says there's no way Arizona can afford to pay this to the schools. She said it would be just absolutely devastating to the state of Arizona, to public safety. It'd be a complete budget buster.
It's absolutely devastating to our future to not fund our schools, and that's what I've been saying for the last 5 years when we've been cutting this. Above all, over and above that, this is a voter-approved initiative, Prop 301, that says you have to fund basic inflation for the school system. It only makes sense. You can't let inflation eat into our ability to educate our kids because they are our economic future. And when the legislature decided to take away that money from our schools, they also decided to give away more corporate tax breaks at the same time. I didn't hear the governor saying we can't afford to do more tax cuts to the rich and big corporations. But that's in effect what we did. Since 1990, we have lost $3 billion a year from our general fund through tax cuts, primarily to big corporations and the rich. Now, I see a lot of companies saying not that we need more tax cuts, but they need better workforce training, better schooling so that they have employees that have the skills they need to be able to hire them, because they're major businesses that are going with vacant positions they can't hire because they can't find the qualified people. They need better schools more than they need more tax cuts, and there are still some tax cuts that they put into place a couple years ago that haven't gotten to effect yet. That would only take a simple majority of this legislature to not repeal, but just not let go into effect. that could help pay for it as well. Our schools have got to be our top priority, because if we're not doing that as a state, where's our future?
All right, here's Dylan Smith.
Which tax cuts are those that you would be in favor of not letting take effect?
I had a bill, actually, that last year had listed three of those that were going that hadn't gone into effect yet. Some of those are the phased down property tax, the property tax rates. So they were taking those down for business property taxes. Things as they phase those down, it makes it more expensive for homeowners too. So there was a problem. And there is a corporate income tax cut that has not gone to effect yet. My bill had said, just suspend those until you reach three generally agreed upon goals of a certain percentage of kids graduating from high school, a certain percentage of third graders reading a third grade level, and the median amount of spending for our public schools. Basically making the case, yeah, tax cuts may be fine, but if our schools aren't doing our kids the justice they need to be done, then it's time to suspend them for a while. We got a pretty good tax climate already for business. How about the climate for our kids in our schools?
Looking past that enormous past due bill, I guess you could call it, for mm-hmm. the money that wasn't funded, and it's still sort of an open question whether the state is going to have to pay that or not. Yeah. How much money are we talking per year that would go to schools across the state?
It's about $300 million more per year, which is completely reasonable because we've been cutting that much in recent years. And schools are dealing with inflation. Now, there are schools, you know, if you got a parent in a school right now, you know there's some districts that are asking for donations of toilet paper because they can't afford them. Some of the soft capital stuff, they call it, the textbooks. They're very old textbooks. They're falling apart, and they're not usable anymore. The basic things like that schools are going without at this point, not to mention the technology stuff. The old technology they're dealing with, the fact they don't have the internet connection. Can you imagine a kid going through school and not understanding how to use the internet, not understanding how to use their computers? And how are they going to get a job in the future? The economy is all about that.
Steve Farley is with us, State Senator, District 9, getting back to the modern streetcar, which will be dedicated the whole line. There'll be activities getting underway 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock in the morning, the Mercado District on the west
Friday.
Side of the line.
Yes.
Then it goes back in about 7:45 on the east side of the line at Helen and Campbell. There'll be more speechifying. There's a whistle stop, and the big dedication is at 5th and Congress at 9 o'clock.
Now, the naysayers, and there certainly have been them all along over the modern streetcar. By the way, these are free rides. Thank you, Rose.
All weekend.
For reminding me that. Free rides, not just the first day, but through the whole weekend.
In fact, and it'll go from 6 in the morning until 2 in the morning.
Okay, so the naysayers say, who's going to ride it?
Well, yeah. Number one, it doesn't matter if anyone rides it because it's already produced the economic benefit. That's how it's different from buses. It has created more than $1 billion in development within three blocks of a four-mile route already before the first rider gets on. That's a huge, huge benefit, and that's why we have this in place as a streetcar. We're really doing that. As a transportation mode, the things it connects, when it comes to talk to transit, it's more about not people density, but trip density. But this streetcar route has both. There's 100,000 people living within a half mile of this four-mile route. So there's people, they're living there already, but you've got the University of Arizona, where you've got 70 or 80,000 people going to and from that every day. You've got the 4th Avenue Shopping District, Main Gate, downtown is now huge, if you haven't been there in the last couple of years, and the Mercado District and the El Rio Center on the other side and all of the west side. There are people going back and forth. There's entertainment things. The U of A games are going to be drawing a bunch of people. And you'll get a whole lot of people using it for a whole lot of different reasons. Even the frat boys going down to drink on 4th Avenue, they won't have to drink and drive anymore. And that's a positive public safety issue, too. There's so many different reasons people are going to be using this and wanting to use it. And I think it'll get a lot more people riding the bus, too. Because okay. I've called the streetcar a gateway drug to buses.
Okay. It does, in a way, matter if people ride it or not. We still need to run those streetcars around, and that's going to cost us a certain amount of money. With the grant that we got, that we can't not run the streetcar.
No, I was being facetious there, but I mean.
But your point is that the economic investment that little boost downtown is already underway.
I'm not saying people won't be riding it because they will be riding it. That's part of the study we had to go through to get the federal money was proved that there would be ridership increases and benefits in that way. So it is going to happen.
What is the cost to ride the streetcar?
It's just like SunTran. It's $150 for one way, a day pass for $4, and $40 for a month pass. If you are connected with the U of A, if you work there, if you're married to someone who works there, if you go there.
You make it sound like a mafia thing. Connected. You are the godfather.
That's right. But you can go to Parking and Transportation Services and get a half price pass. It's a great deal if you're connected to the U of A.
Steve Farley, thank you very much. I know you'll have a great time next Friday at the dedication. Thanks a lot for being
here. We all will. It's a great victory for Tucson.
12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday roundtable is next, right after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Investigators already finding they have their work cut out for them as they try to find out what brought down the Malaysian jetliner over eastern Ukraine, territory controlled by pro-Russian rebels. The first international monitors to arrive on the scene today were met with resistance from armed militiamen. Oklahoma's governor says it's another example of the federal courts ignoring the will of the people. Mary Fallon reacting to a ruling from a federal appeals court today that Oklahoma must allow so-called homosexual marriages. A decision by the Obama administration is reopening the Eastern Seaboard to offshore oil and gas exploration, giving final approval to the use of sonic cannons to find energy deposits deep beneath the ocean floor. The Dow's up about 127 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training. Because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith stays over from our interview with State Senator Farley. Dylan Smith is the editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com, and we're joined by Miguel Ortega, who is a longtime advocate of downtown business and local business in general. And Miguel, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Good to see you. Good to be back,
Bill. You were listening to the Senator Farley interview,
yeah.
Hopefully with a lot of other people. And yeah. Anything surprise you out of the interview?
Well, the one, he deserves a lot of kudos for his leadership when it comes to the modern streetcar. Definitely, you know, everybody right now is fighting for credit and spotlight, and I think it's kind of silly and embarrassing. There's a lot of people who've sacrificed a lot, including a lot of the businesses that did close down, and many now that are still trying to survive. That said, kudos to Steve. I kind of fell out of my chair when I heard him say that, and let me see if I'm quoting him right, it doesn't matter if anyone rides the modern streetcar. And that's what he said. And I confirmed with him out of the studio with a straight face, unless he's a straight, like a comedian with a straight, you know.
Oh, it was a straight line.
I don't know.
Okay. His point is that because this thing was built and put in place and can't be moved, that all this economic development happened.
Over a billion dollars.
In the context
so
of
yes.
Yeah. New buildings were built, new businesses opened up. In that context, yes. No, it doesn't matter if anybody rides it or not because these things are built. Of course, I think the people who run those businesses certainly want people riding that streetcar because that will be bringing them customers.
Well,
and for
exactly.
You know, a longer term yeah. sense, yes, it matters.
Yeah, and you know, and there's still a little bit of a political image, you know, a PR battle that has to go on, and we're going to have a kind of either a honeymoon or a nightmare come January when the whole, you know, excitement of the modern streetcar kind of wears off a little bit, and that is, you know, I've talked to business owners, and when the modern streetcar came up and we had the student housing, you had the density already in place. We've had the density in place for a while now. With student housing, can't get any more. The place is full, and they really haven't been shopping. They haven't been in the stores, so that's a concern. So, just with the modern streetcar coming in, is that going to change things? And are the kids actually going to ride? Those are concerns. And like I was saying before, mm-hmm. I'm both a critic and a supporter of the modern streetcar. I don't think you have to choose to be like an absolute cheerleader and be blind to everything. And then on the other hand, you shouldn't just hate it and not want any anything to do with it. But the other thing that kind of concerns me about the modern streetcar is, like, I wonder how much folks really are working on getting regular, good old-fashioned bus riders, you know, riding the modern streetcar as well. You know, I have a Sun go-kart deal, you know, where you can load it up and all that kind of stuff. Nowhere are they promoting the fact that if you purchase a month card, it could be used for the bus and for the modern streetcar. I haven't seen anywhere that that's being promoted.
So the cross-promotion could help, certainly, SunTrans.
Sure. Yeah. So it's just this little thing. We don't want people to start thinking that you only want certain people on the modern streetcar. You don't want people to have that perception. And so I think that maybe folks should consider that, you know.
Top story of the week certainly was what went on in Oracle, Arizona. I mean, every major newspaper had pictures on the many times the front page. And the Wall Street Journal even had a big article about it. And of course, it was this the confrontation over the Central American immigrant children who were supposed to arrive by bus to a facility up in Oracle. They didn't arrive that day. I don't know if they're still planning to go to that facility, Dylan.
Well, the facility is still planning on taking in some of those migrant kids. That, you know, it's very, very likely to happen at some point. It's an open question, and it's reporters all over the state have been trying to nail down whether there was in fact a bus or two of those children that was scheduled to be there that day when the demonstration was going on, and whether, you know, the notion that sparked off, you know, having these the protesters and the demonstrators in support of them and all of that, and whether, you know, that was an actual thing that was on the calendar to happen, or if it was just a supposition rather than something that was actually supposed to happen.
And two figures emerged garnering the most publicity out of this, the sheriff, Sheriff Babu of Pinal County, and congressional candidate Adam Quasman for a gaffe that he made, saying that he was at the scene of the demonstration, and he said, when a school bus rolled up, these kids were actually going to some kind of a YMCA
camp.
Yeah,
kids going to summer camp.
Yeah, and he said he saw the faces of fear in the children. Boy. Well, he believed these were the migrant children.
Right.
And you talk about trying to walk something back after that kind of mistake.
Well, man, the hits keep coming, don't they? The hits keep coming. This is bad for business. I mean, you know, like Dylan was mentioning before we came on the air, it's like, is the sheriff really a bigot? Is he racist? Or is he just kind of a political opportunist in the worst, case. God, does it even really matter? I mean, I'm just so concerned with the ongoing, you know, continuing black eye that our state is.
Well,
is
that's
reaching,
the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Miguel, is the whole image
right.
of Arizona. Again, we're all over the newspapers.
Yeah.
And all over Comedy Central.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
being mocked.
Here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is bad for business.
You know, and it's bad for Republicans. And I'm a Democrat. I think that Republicans just can't get out of their way, their own way on this issue. These are kids. I mean, the Daily Show was hit it perfectly. These are kids, you guys. You know, let's really think about what we're saying and what we're doing here. And the other part of this, too, is that this is not something new. It's the numbers are unprecedented, but the continuing problem, especially regionally here, is not anything new. The rhetoric is new, and the rhetoric comes and goes depending on our economy, both locally and nationally. And so this, when people try to kill the debate right away by saying, we can't negotiate anything until we have a secure border, well, then you kind of think, okay, well, Reagan had 8 years, Bush had 8 years. You know?
These kids and the families that are coming across are getting picked up immediately in most cases. You know, that's a fairly secure border. They're not
right.
coming across and you know, vanishing and going who knows where to cities across the country. It's a very different situation. If you look at absolute numbers,
yeah.
this is not the sort of wave of illegal immigration that we have seen in other previous years. It doesn't
right.
measure up when you look at that. It's just the number of people who are getting
right.
caught. And most of them are just turning themselves in.
And
when
does
they
the
get
Republican
here.
Leadership really want to be associated with people that will be looked back on in history with that claimed that we have a serious flow of serial killers and major disease outbreaks
Ebola.
Over the decades? Yeah, I mean, it's like this rhetoric is unbelievable. You know, all of a sudden we're concerned about this major outbreak of disease, things that Hollywood movies are made of, and serial killers. So to me, it's like, you know,
outbreak
let's look at that.
On the, yeah.
Yeah, outbreak. Come on. So yeah, it's sad. Not that the Democrats are doing much of a better job, because, you know,
no,
they've had
and I think partially we have to point out the fact that there was certainly confusion in the message as it went down to places like Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and other right. places in Central America. They misinterpreted the whole when they heard about the dreamers.
Right.
It got by the time it got to the street. The message was, hey, the dream is alive to go to El Norte,
right.
to head
right.
north. Right. They didn't understand what the dreamer thing was all about. They just heard children and freedom.
Sure. But if you think of 1 year at what, 50,000? What are they putting out the number at? I mean, that's just 1 year. We're talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of people coming over. It's a minuscule point, right? And so to then blame the dreamer message, it's kind of like saying, to a couple in a household, you know, there's a domestic violence going on, you know, but now, well, let's talk about it with a therapist. Now that it's out in the open, well, you're bringing more attention to the household and you're causing the violence. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's like we have to have a conversation, and we can't have a conversation in isolation. The rest of the nation is going to be tuned in to our problem that we haven't resolved. So the dreamer approach is that's basically something that we had to address at some given time. And what are we supposed to do? Talk in code? You know, I mean, what's the deal?
All right.
You know?
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim is with us, Jim Kelly, friend of the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Listen, there are three issues you guys have brought up that I want to kind of question. One, the reason the kids are immediately apprehended is because the coyotes gave them a little piece of paper and said, go see the Border Patrol, and here's how to answer the questions. Number two, okay, do any of you think it's about time that we build an Ellis Island facility to process and document immigrants properly, classify them properly, and give them a certain legal status so they don't have to hide in the shadows? And finally, bad neighborhoods and domestic violence are no reason to grant asylum. So talk away, gentlemen. That's what I think about it.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
I was, before I noticed that he'd called in, I was going to bring up Jim, not necessarily by name, but there's been a side conversation going on along amongst a lot of Republicans over the past week, especially about the rhetorical approach, and that, you know, having people, you know, yelling at a busload of kids is probably, you know, not the not only not the best PR, but just not the best way to handle things.
Right.
I don't really think this country is ready for some sort of, you know, singular Ellis Island point to funnel everyone through. You know, that you're talking about a much, you know, different sort of, you know, logistics than what we did, 150 years ago.
Apprehension at the border, he was talking about.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Everybody's talking about different solutions, and mm-hmm. obviously, I can't even, it's even hard for this to roll off my tongue here, but comprehensive immigration reform is what we're all talking about, but not really doing. You know, it's when you talk about build an Ellis Island. I mean, how long is that going to take? How does that resonate with some families that are impacted by the NAFTA policies? You know, how's that going to impact a family that basically is just, you know, desperate? Yeah. It doesn't really matter if there's an Ellis Island or not. It's a major, major problem that has to be addressed.
The question of process, you know, these kids eventually do end up with a sort of not legal status, but legal presence if they are making an asylum claim, and then they, you know, have to have that processed. And we are doing those things of, you know, figuring out where these kids are from and where and their families are, and trying, you know, asking them why
Jim
they came here and all that.
Jim brings up a good point, though. If we're going to welcome in kids just coming from bad neighborhoods, there are a lot of bad neighborhoods throughout the world. I mean, it's not just Central America.
Well, and that does not legally qualify you for an asylum claim. You know, there's a much steeper slope you need to climb up to have a successful claim for asylum to be able to stay here as a legal permanent resident.
I'll just see if we can work in this final call here, Miguel.
Sure.
Matt is with us. Matt, go ahead on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, I'm following from Jim's call, and I just want to challenge it in one regard. These kids are actually following the law, and until the Republican Party and everybody recognize that, and I even had Bruce Ash or one of them say, yes, they are. The law says that they can come here if they are escaping violence. Now, how they got here, I don't care if it's coyotes or not. The coyotes are participating in a way that's basically saying to them, turn yourself over to Border Patrol. I mean, that is, what more can Border Patrol ask for? They are following the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that point seems to be lost on the Republicans. Although Bruce Ash says, oh, no, we understand they're following the law, but now we want to change the law and say we don't want them.
Well, I think Bruce did say
rhetorical,
that
this is rhetorically wrong, and Bruce and the rest of the Republican Party, if you don't want people to follow the law and then you don't want people, I don't understand them. Thank you.
Bruce did admit here on the show, Matt, that they are following the law.
It's just, you know, what it comes down to is a fear of ourselves, is a fear of who we are as a country.
Xenophobia?
It really is, and whether it's blatant racism or just basic fear. I mean, and it's through a spectrum. I mean, just because you're afraid and you're angry doesn't make you a racist. But it does expose a fundamental problem with our nation, that is a fear of who we are. Because if you're afraid of brown people, then you're afraid of this country. Because brown people have been a part of this country historically throughout. It's no different. The borders have changed. Policies have changed. We've had wars. And through these wars, there's been different policies and there has been debates on language. But nevertheless, there's always been a diverse population in our country.
Going to have to go. Dylan Smith, thank you very much. We'll look for your work on TucsonSentinel.com. And Miguel Ortega, we will look for your work, your column in Inside Tucson Business. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Weekend Watch is next. And speaking of Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist, hosts our Weekend Watch next.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the weekend. And when I hear that music, I am ready indeed. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, all-around nice guy. And it Weekend Watch brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high elevation of Silver City. Hike in the Gila National Wilderness and stay at great places like Little Toad Creek Inn and Silver City KOA. Find out more about the great places to stay and things to do on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, who is over in SoCal, in Southern California, enjoying a little R&R. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Greetings from Mission Beach. My toes are in the sand. In fact, we've dubbed this Buckmaster Beach all week long, and Bill, you'd be awfully darn proud of the place. It's just spectacular.
I'm sure you're having a very good time, but for those of us who are still here in Tucson that are looking for a nice happy hour, what is your suggestion, my friend?
Yeah, Bill, if I were back home in Tucson, I'd kick off my weekend today at Bluefin for happy hour, one of the great places in town for fresh fish. Now, my favorite part about Bluefin's happy hour is their Mussel Madness, which they serve up delicious specials of mussels and cocktails from 4:30 to 6:30 every night, and it really has turned into a Tucson tradition. So everybody has my permission to leave work a little early today to head over to Ina and Oracle for Mussel Madness at Bluefin.
I love peaches. Do you have me covered?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of fresh peach season, so what better time to head out to Apple Annie's Orchard in Wilcox this Saturday and Sunday for their annual Peach Mania. Now get this, start with a scrumptious all-you-can-eat peach pancake breakfast.
Ooh.
Then enjoy wagon rides out to the orchard where you can pick your very own peaches and then have some peach pie, peach ice cream, and some apple smoked burgers. Bill, I know you love peaches as much as I do. Put Peach Mania on your calendar this weekend.
And hey, that'd be a great place for Rose to celebrate her birthday this weekend over at Apple Annie's. How about a little bit of Caribbean Calypso?
Yeah, Dakota Bar and Grill in Trail Dust Town over on Tankaverde is going to be the place tomorrow night for delicious Caribbean cuisine and cocktails at their Calypso Night. Now, it starts at 6 o'clock with a live steel drum band concert and a special regional menu that includes things like mango coconut grilled chicken with Caribbean rice. It sounds like a blast at Calypso Night tomorrow at Dakota Bar and Grill.
And in the Inside Tucson Business column...
Yeah, the issue of animal skin has divided foodies for years, Bill. Do you scrape it off and discard it, or is it a central part of the meal? I sat down with a local chef who says that skin is most certainly in. See what she has to say in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great trip back to Tucson and a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Right back to you, sir.
The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the birthday girl and producer Rosemary Brandt, Rose, have a great weekend. I sure hope you're going to have a lovely birthday. I know you will. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Want to say thanks to Culligan. Thank you, Culligan, for all of your bottled water that you supply to all of our guests. Culligan, pure and simple, it is the best water in town. Phil Cedar and his Expert Talk starts really the whole thing about Expert Talk here on KVOI. Phil talking about your garden tomorrow at 7 a.m. And of course, a full weekend of Expert Talk. I am Bill, and on behalf of Rosemary Brandt, have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.